it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the boos ring out. He gets to his feet. But in the end, the final whistle does blow. Final score, Houston 3, St. Louis City 2.
Well, there have been better highlights. That one, though, from last weekend's game against Houston at Energizer Park, where City SC did lose 3-2. But here's the thing. There's another game. We've got another game. City SC hosts FC Dallas tomorrow at 8:30. And joining us now is Dale Shilley, St. Louis City SC Academy Director and Broadcaster on Y98. Dale, good to talk to you each week as we always do.
I'm sorry I didn't hear you. Cut out.
this is not going well.
That's just what happened in the game last week.
I'm sorry.
Did you drop the phone right before we started?
On purpose.
It's now trickling down to the broadcasters.
Yeah, as soon as I heard the highlight, I dropped the phone and left the room.
Dale threw it against the wall, absolutely livid, his mind.
He just said, I can't do this.
I can't do this anymore. Dale, well, here's what I did say. I turned it around at the end. I said, there's another game. There's another game
That's
tomorrow.
Right.
City hosts FC Dallas at 8:30.
And a game that is...
7:30. Sorry about that.
7:30. And a game that is winnable, just like we thought the Houston game was, where we're near each other in the table, and you think you've got the opportunity to get a result. And it's an important one, again, because any of these games where we're playing teams that are near us, and we've got our players back, and we're healthy... you would expect that we can compete with them and try to get the result. And you know, we had a stretch where we were playing against teams that were in the upper half of the standings, and we were playing well against them. And the Houston game just really was a dagger because we were down 3-0 at some point in the second half, and before we finally the fire lit and we created some chances and scored a couple goals. So we got to come out with a little more urgency here against FC Dallas.
So I know that a few weeks ago we talked about in a season in which it did not look at the time like they were going to the playoffs, and certainly that's even truer now. Once we asked you what are you playing for? What's the purpose of the remaining games they have? So how does that change, and what is it that here in the final month of the season, well, actually, they're going to play on the 18th of October, and that's the last game. So a little over a month worth of games to play. What is it they are playing for here?
Yeah, I think you can always say that guys are playing for their contract, and in a way, that's true. I think there's 14 players that are on the option year of their contract. So the club has some decisions to make as to whether they bring certain players back or not. So that's certainly part of it. You have Critch's future as the head coach for the team, which he needs results, and particularly results against teams that he should be getting, or the team should be getting results against. That would be Houston. That would be FC Dallas. Again, we've pointed over the course of the year that injuries were a big part of why we had the results that we had. And now that we've got everybody healthy again, you would hope that, you can get the points and the results that you want. So I think his future, the players' contracts, and then, the fans and just to revitalize the energy that we've had in the stadium and in the community for the team is a big factor. I would think that that would be pushing the players in a big way, because it was, and a lot of these players were there, most of them were, they know what it was like in year one and the beginnings of year two when things were going so well.
Dale, the end of that highlight we played with Joey Zannaboni on the Y98 broadcast, as Joey mentioned, you could hear the boos kind of ringing out at Energizer Park, and that feels somewhat unusual. Have there been, I'm trying to think back at different points of games throughout the season, is this really the first time the fans have kind of shown their disappointment, or has that been building a bit?
No, I think it's been there, but I would have to go back and look at the end of that clip and make sure what the context was. I think there was some antics. I think there were some antics from the Houston Dynamo players at the end to stall some of the timeout. And I think that and our fans have not been shy about sharing their feeling on an opposition player or a team when there's time wasting going on. So I have a feeling that that was it. But certainly, with the number of player or the number of seats that have been open in games and whatnot, you can feel the discontent and the desire for the team to get better. But they've always been supportive. And I go back to the Nashville game that, you know, we win the game and we scored a couple goals and took a 2-0 lead. I think it was a 3-0 lead at one point. It felt like it had that we'd never miss a step. So it's all there. It's the desire and the commitment and the energy from the fans is still there. They haven't lost the support, but you can certainly feel that they're yearning for more and they want to get back to the winning ways for sure.
How different do you think this roster is going to look next year?
It's
pretty early.
That's an interesting. You know, with Lutz gone, you know, who was responsible for bringing a lot of the players in, and then there's a loyalty and an allegiance to those guys. Now that he's not here, you know, does that increase the likelihood that we'll see changes in the roster? I would think so. You know, I would think that we would see, you know, a number of the guys going. And look, there could be guys that want a new change themselves. They want a new atmosphere. They want to get someplace else in their career. So, you know, it could be a two-way street. It could be from our own choosing, and the players may, you know, have some desire to move as well if they are given that opportunity from the club.
What about from the continued search for a sporting director and maybe a coach, where City SC might be looking?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not privy to those conversations. I do know that they're, you know, obviously in the middle of the search, and there's some interviewing and stuff going on that I hear behind the scenes, not behind the scenes, but maybe out on social media, just people talking. So I'm sure that that's going on. And I would think that the order of business would be sporting director first, head coach second, with the sporting director having a big part in who the head coach is going to be. But yeah, I mean, that's a critical step that we need to get to, so that when we go to build out the roster, that the person or the people that are going to be responsible for the successes of the team next year are the ones putting the roster together.
So I know that we've brought this up quite a bit all season long, and the declaration from ownership that they were going to make the playoffs this year, this was the expectation. And then obviously they are falling well short of that. What, do you believe there is an appetite for the organization to really get aggressive, you know, as much as they can during the upcoming off season, so that they are a playoff team again next year?
I think for sure taking a real hard look at the current roster and the construction of the roster, not just players and who the player is, but you know, what sort of qualities and profiles did those players fill within the roster, and can we do a better job of mixing players together that complement each other to help make a stronger team, I think is absolutely a way that that the club will go. And, you know, whether that means increase in salaries or trying to find a high-profile player to fill a certain need. I'm not sure on that one. I think the idea of the team being more important than an individual player is still an important part of the fabric of the club. So I think, you know, meshing players together that fit, I think will probably be a big point of emphasis.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you look around MLS, are there certain franchises that you look to or point to and say, you know, they do it right? This is a kind of a leader or a paradigm in how to run an organization, you know, much in the same way that the St. Louis Cardinals for so long mm-hmm. were an organization that people in Major League Baseball admired and talked about. Is there an MLS equivalent?
Yeah, I would say that there's different aspects that you would look at, like how to manage star players and a changing and evolving roster would be like an LAFC. Managing players from within and the build out of, you know, academy players into your first team and then slight movements within your roster would be Seattle. I think, you know, and every year both of those teams are hosting playoff games in the, you know, at the end of the year, they finish in the top four of their divisions. If it's just strictly, you know, developing academy players and selling them and moving on, it'd be Dallas or Philadelphia Union. So there's different ways for teams to be successful. I would say probably Seattle would be the one that would be the most similar and would be the one that we would point to the most with how things have been run there and the one that we want to emulate.
How did Cincinnati go from being a consistent last place finisher, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they're in the top five the last few years?
Yeah. Well, the league's built on that, so it's not a difficult thing. I'll give you another example. Nashville a year ago were towards the bottom of the table in July when they hired their new coach. He came in, worked with the group, you know, worked with the coaches, made changes in both in the staff and the players, and now they're in the top three in the in their conference and fighting for a supporter shield as the team in the league with the most points. So the way the league is set, with the parity that it's set, the salary cap situations, it can change quickly. So I think Cincinnati is a great example of, you know, where they were and when they made the decisions to make the changes that they did, they got it turned around immediately. And obviously players and Pat Noonan being, you know, being the head coach of St. Louis guy, the SMET graduate, you know, leading that charge. I think, you know, it can be done very easily and very quickly. Just a matter of leadership and making some decisions.
Because I'm not following it close enough and you're the soccer guy, I'm going to ask you a more a broad question here in the U.S. because it always sounds like from people who do watch the U.S. men's national team closely that they are a huge damn disappointment all the time. So are they still? And if they are, how are they going to fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Man, where do you want to start?
And I don't know. You tell me, because the World Cup's next year, right?
Yeah,
World Cup is next year. And by the way, last week you asked me, could you still get World Cup tickets? Yes, they're actually, you go in on like a bidding system starting the middle of this month, if I'm not mistaken.
You can
get tickets. They haven't sold them yet. There's a bidding opportunity, a lottery type thing that you can enter here. So check online. Yeah, you know, look, I think
well, you're supposed to go get them for us.
I think the, you know, how do you change it and how do you become more competitive? You know, it starts, I think, at the grassroots level. It starts with the academies that we're doing now with within the MLS of trying to work with the top players in at the youth level, continue to give them more and more challenges to help raise the level. One of the things that's happening this year at the academy level is that the MLS academies are now forced to play up a year in their three oldest age groups. So instead of our 16-year-olds playing against other 16-year-olds, they're having to play against 17-year-olds from the other non-MLS academies. So playing up and giving them more challenges in the long term will theoretically help develop players, help provide another challenge to make them or help them grow further and more quickly. Otherwise, you know, it's a matter of just, again, finding the players that are out there and then putting coaches in place that can help bring the group together. And look, it's a big challenge. It's hard for us to get through CONCACAF right now, which is our regional area. We can't even win our Gold Cup, and then we've got to go and compete at the World Cup level. It's a big challenge, and there's not an easy answer.
Why don't you go do something crazy about it? Why don't they ask you for help?
Yeah, I've been asking that question for years. Yeah. I don't understand it.
All right. I'll see who we can talk to.
It's a bummer because World Cup is so
it
much
is. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to be a real player in that, wouldn't it?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we've got talent, and we haven't put our best group on the field yet under the new coach, Pochettino. So let's see what happens when he pulls the guys together and he gets the support from all of the all the players for the World Cup and see what the talent looks like. I mean, we're not far off from at least being able to compete in advance out of opening rounds and that kind of stuff. So let's just see what happens. I'm still in a wait and see to see where this particular group of players is at.
Yeah, my understanding is that Mauricio was a bit of a disappointment with my Tottenham Hotspur, and now he's doing the same thing for the men's national team. That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Don't hold a grudge.
All right. Dale, we love you. Thank you. Don't drop your phone in the toilet.
I will not. All right. See you later.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.